We are slowly, I guess you could say, slowly making our way through Romans chapter 12. But I hope it's been a beneficial study for us. We're not trying to drag this out. That's not the purpose of it. The design of it is just to try to dig into a text that is probably very familiar to us, to dig into this text and to see what can we learn from this and to make application into our lives. This is a very practical chapter, and that's why we've been spending so long looking at it. And I don't know if you've ever noticed how detailed this chapter gets. You know, you've got 21 verses, but you've got verses that are just packed with a number of different important things for Christians to look at. And so that's why we're taking the time and walking through this the way that we are. We're almost done with this within the next couple classes. Obviously, we'll finish up. We're going to be in verse 17 tonight, but this has been the outline that we've been looking at for the class, trying to start out looking at the relationship we need to have with God, making sure we solidify that. We make sure we are truly doing what we can to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And you know, the hard thing about that is we want to get off the altar sometimes. We're like a lamb. If you ever put a living lamb up on top of that altar with that fire underneath them, well, that lamb wouldn't want to stay there. That lamb would have jumped off and run away. Well, sometimes when the fires get really hot, when we're up on that altar and serving the Lord, sometimes it's tempting for us to want to just get off and run away. And so this is not just present your body one time, put yourself up there one time, but it's a continual need and to make sure that we're conforming ourselves to the Lord and not to the ways of the world around us. Checking ourselves, the second thing we looked at, verses 3 through 8, is just my relationship to myself, making sure I'm living humbly, making sure I'm living soberly, making sure I'm living responsibly to the things that God has blessed me with. We've looked at our relationship with each other, and that's throughout this chapter. There's just so much in this chapter about our responsibility to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I hope you've noted these as we've gone through here. And one of the important things, and I've tried to note this as often as it shows up, and that is how many present tense verbs are in this chapter. And what that indicates in the original Greek is that a present tense verb means this is continuous. This isn't just a one time, you check it off the list and I'm done with it. But this is a continuous need, a regular behavior that I have in my life. And that's especially true when we get down to this section where we are right tonight and talking about how do we deal with our enemies? How do I handle my relationship with those that I don't get along with, those who don't like me, those who don't treat me well? We have spent the last couple classes looking at verses 14, 15, and 16. And really these two concepts, the choosing to do good and choosing to not retaliate, they overlap in this section. You can't just nicely divide them. But we've looked at verse 14, 15, and 16 and talked about here's how we choose to do good. And there's an emphasis there on the choosing and the doing good. We've got to do good, but it's a choice. It's a daily choice when we wake up. What am I going to do today? How am I going to treat people? Have you ever got up on the wrong side of the bed? Literally? Have you ever gotten up on the wrong side of the bed? Figuratively? You ever gotten up on the wrong side of the bed? Well, maybe you haven't. Has your spouse ever gotten up on the wrong side of the bed? Has somebody you work with ever gotten up on the wrong side of the bed? What does that mean? That means we're irritable from the moment we get up. That means from the moment the alarm went off, it's just not a good day. And maybe it was because the alarm went off that it's not a good day. But whatever it is, there is a choice that we've got to make when we get up that day, and that choice is, how am I going to treat others? And I've got to choose to do good, and here were the things that we looked at. And again, three verses, but just packed with a lot there. But tonight, I want us to move on to verse 17. And again, it's a choice. And it is a choosing what we do. It's choosing to do good, and at the same time, choosing not to retaliate. And that's not always an easy choice to make. You might, when you get up every morning, you might decide, you know what, today I'm not going to retaliate. And then that person comes along. That person who is the one that you are challenged by the most, whoever that is, comes along, and your choice that morning, I'm not going to retaliate today, gets challenged big time. When certain people come along, certain circumstances come along. But what? How does verse 17 start out? Verse 17 starts out, the New King James says, repay no one evil for evil. Who's got the New American Standard? How does the New American Standard read there? I like how the New American, and it's not different, but it is different. I like how the New American Standard says it. It says, never. How often can I do this? Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Wow, God just took it. He took everything away from me. I mean, he didn't leave me any wiggle room. Did he leave me an exception? I mean, what if it's that person? What if it's my spouse? What if it's my children? What if it's my parents? I mean, did he leave me any wiggle room there? I mean, it's never repay evil for evil to anyone. We've been talking about the various Greek words that are used here, and I'm only putting this Greek word up here not because you need to know it. I'm only putting it up here because later on in this text, and we're not going to get to it tonight, but we're going to get to it down in verse 19, when we get down to verse 19, there's another Greek word that plays off of this word here. And so that's the only reason I'm putting this one up here, not because it's one to remember. But it's the word literally means to give back. That's what the word literally means. And so God is telling us, don't give back evil for evil to anyone. And again, it's a present tense verb, which means it's not just, well, I stopped myself once, check, I'm done with that for today. That means for the rest of the day, I can return evil for evil. I did really good this one time, but the rest of the day I'm off the hook. It's a present tense verb. That means this is a continual thing. This is a continual action that I am to be engaged in my life. Is this hard? I mean, never retaliate. Somebody does evil to me. So if somebody does a lot of evil to me, could I just do a little evil back? I mean, when you're comparing, you look how mean they were to me. I was only a little bit back. I mean, and most people wouldn't even notice, right? Can I return any? And it's interesting, it's not just never, it is never to anyone. In my mind, those two words jump out at me, the word never and the word anyone. They jump off the page to say, God's saying that I need to make a decision every morning, every time I encounter somebody that's difficult to deal with, that I've got to make a decision. This same Greek word, is, as you would expect, is found a number of times in the New Testament. Remember Matthew chapter 20 and verse 8, the workers in the vineyard, when the master called them back, Siri must think I'm talking to her. I'm not talking to you, Siri, go away. But the master said, give to the laborers their due, what they have earned. It's the same word. So the laborers had put in their work, and now they are being given back. They are being paid back. Same word in Luke chapter 10. Remember what the Good Samaritan said to the innkeeper. Good Samaritan had taken that man, and he'd brought him to the inn. He had taken care of him, but when he got ready to leave, what did he tell the innkeeper? You take care of him, and anything you spend over this, I will repay you. I will reimburse you. I will give it back. Same word. So whatever money the innkeeper would put out, that's what the Good Samaritan was willing to give back. And Jesus uses the same word when he uses the word reward, when he talks about what somebody has done and how they will be rewarded for what they've done. And so that's the word that God is using here. This concept of somebody does evil to me and I give it back to them. I'm like a mirror. Oh, I see your evil and I raise your evil and I'm going to give you some in return to see how you like it. God says, that's not the way it works. Johnny? Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Johnny says it has to do with the heart. And Johnny's illustration is just because if somebody hits you and you don't hit them back, okay, good. But what's in your heart? And Johnny says, are you retaining that in your heart? Are you keeping in mind in your heart what they have done so that maybe later on you can get some kind of retribution? And I mean, Johnny, that's the case so much with, even in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about actions that we engaged in. But he backs up and says, hang on, before you even think about the action, what about the heart? How is the heart engaged in this or not engaged in this? Turn your Bible to, I want to look at a couple passages. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There's a couple other times where this same expression is found. This isn't the only place in the New Testament where we read in 1 Thessalonians is not the same as 1 Timothy, by the way, just in case you were wondering. Those are two separate books. The same expression is used more than once in the New Testament. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at the beginning of the verse. See that no one, there's that emphasis again, renders evil for evil to anyone. So nobody has permission to act this way towards anybody else. Isn't it funny sometimes how we read the Bible and we think, yeah, but, the Lord didn't know this person that I've got to deal with on a regular basis. I mean, I understand what the Lord's saying, but, he didn't realize who I was going to have to put up with. And so maybe there's some exception. God uses big words like no one and anyone. But I'm not coming here just to see the same expression. You see that no one renders evil for evil, but I want you to see the rest of the verse. But here's the contrast. Instead of rendering evil for evil, what should I do instead? I should pursue, and we're going to see this in Romans 12, I should pursue what is good for who? For yourselves and for all. How often should I pursue this according to this verse? All the time. So instead of somebody does me evil and, I'm going to return that back. I'm going to pay them back. I'm just going to reimburse them. I don't want them to feel like they're lacking. They gave this to me. I'm just going to give them some back. God says, no, nobody does that to anybody. But here's what you do instead. And my Bible's got the word always. Always pursue what is good. And again, Romans chapter 12, verse 17 is going to end that way as well. But I like what he says here, both for yourselves and for everybody. If I don't retaliate, if I don't return evil for evil, but I pursue what is good towards that person instead, who does that benefit? It benefits everybody. Does it benefit that person if I don't retaliate? According to this verse, if I don't retaliate and if I do good towards them, does it benefit them? Absolutely. But the Bible also says it benefits me. Does it benefit me not to retaliate? Does it benefit me to not return evil for evil? Am I made a better person, a stronger Christian? And if I do that once, if I hold myself back once, does it become a little bit easier to hold myself back another time? And if I'm able to do it twice, am I able to start creating some sort of a habit or a pattern there? This is a great verse. You might even write that verse in the margin in your Bible next to Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Flip over to 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter, and we're going to see the same expression again in verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 3. Sorry, I didn't say the chapter. 1 Peter chapter 3. The sentence starts in verse 8. So let's start in verse 8. We'll see the expression in verse 9. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. Finally, all of you, that includes all of us, right? Be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil, nor reviling for reviling. But, so he does the same exact thing. He does the same, Peter here does the same exact thing that Paul did in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 15, where he says, don't do this. And then he's got a word of contrast that says, but. And when we get over to 1 Peter 3, he says, don't do this, evil for evil, but on the contrary, do what? A blessing. Don't return evil for evil, return a blessing for evil, which we saw earlier in Romans chapter 12. But here's what I want to see. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. What does that mean? Don't return evil for evil, but return a blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. What is he talking about? What were we called to? We were called to Christ. What did you say? Somebody else say something? Were we called to emulate Christ? Did Christ return evil for evil? Did Christ return reviling for reviling? I was called to Christ. Did Christ return blessing to evil? That's what I was called to, John. Absolutely. First thing, I don't know if you all heard John. First thing he said was Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to get there. We're going to get there when we get down a little bit later in Romans chapter 12. But Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be what? Called the sons of God. And so as I behave like Christ in that regard, I'm called a child of God when I emulate him. But then second thing John said is, you don't know what set somebody off. You don't know who kicked their cat. You don't know what made them angry. But you know what you can do. You know how you can respond. You also know how you can respond too. You know the other side of, I've been studying up on this. I'm a master of retaliation. Well, you don't need to be. I don't care if you've got a PhD in retaliation. You need to give that one up and be the one who goes the other direction. And that's what 1 Peter 3 is so interesting. Returning blessing in order that you may inherit a blessing. Obviously, there's the eternal blessing that is afforded to those who are children of God. But I don't think this is just limited to the eternal blessing. It's inheriting an eternal blessing. But there is a blessing in doing what is right. There's a blessing in following the example of Christ and knowing that you're living right and doing right and making a difference in somebody's life. Somebody else have a hand up a second ago? Darren. Right. And so in rules of engagement, Darren talks about is, first rule of engagement is to de-escalate the situation. Don't be the one who comes in and pours fuel on the fire that's already going. Do what you can to de-escalate the situation, and that's a good rule of thumb for any area of conflict, whether it's interpersonal, whether it's marriage, whether it's whatever it is, to do what we can to de-escalate the situation and not further exasperate the situation. And wasn't Christ the master of that? I mean, when these people are constantly coming to him and trying to stick it to him, and he was just the master of de-escalating. And that took a choice not to retaliate, a conscious decision on how to act. Dan?
David, you cannot wait until these situations arise to decide what you're going to do. When that adrenaline hits your system, your flesh is going to kick in, and you're going to do wrong unless by meditating on the law of the Lord and praying, God, help me to do what Romans 12 says. Not just this point, but every single one of them. That's how you meditate on the law of the Lord. You look at that book, you see in the mirror what God wants you to be, and you behold your image in there and say, that's not the way I want to be. I want to be like Jesus. And you pray about it, and you decide ahead of time I'm not going to do this. And if you mess up, you immediately correct it and then just start again. But don't wait until the situations arise, because you'll do wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not waiting to see how I might react in that situation, but working ahead of time to make sure that I am prepared for whatever that might be. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter. Joe, go ahead. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. But Joe, go ahead. What were you going to say? Absolutely. Joe went to chapter 15. I don't know if you all heard Joe, but in Romans chapter 15, he read verse 1 that we've got to be ones who try to be the one who is strong, and at least try to look out for the failings of those who are weak. I think even the New King James has the word scruples to talk about the scruples or the failings or the weaknesses of those who are weak, and to do what we can. I think the rest of that verse in chapter 15 says, and not to please ourselves. That's the easy thing to do. You know, we get in a situation and not to please ourselves, but instead to look out for them. Verse 2 says, let each of us please his neighbor for his good. For his good. Looking out for the neighbor, doing what is for edification. That's a great passage to look at too. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Interesting thing. What's 1 Corinthians chapter 13? What is this chapter? Oh, it's the love chapter. We love this one. This one's sweet. So we've got all of these qualities about Christian love. And when you begin in verse 4, how love, Christian agape love, suffers long and is kind. Verse 4, love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Now here down at the end of verse 5, it depends on what translation you've got here. All right, down at the end of verse 5. New King James says, it is not provoked. Your Bible might say it's not irritable. And then the New King James at the end of verse 5 says that love thinks no evil. That's interesting. If I'm being told by the Lord, don't return evil for evil, over here in this passage he says, you know what Christian love doesn't do? It doesn't even think evil. It doesn't even think, what can I do to somebody? Now, I know other translations don't say that love thinks no evil. What do other translations have here in this text? Anybody? The end of verse 5, I think the New American Standard says, does not take into account a wrong suffered. What? Somebody does me wrong and I don't take that into account? I mean, that goes back to what Johnny said. Somebody does me wrong. Okay, I didn't slap them. Okay, good. You didn't slap them. But don't harbor it in your heart either. Agape love doesn't say, okay, you do that 3 more times, I'm keeping a tally right here in my heart. You do that 3 more times and you've reached your limit, buddy. No, it doesn't keep a tally. It doesn't keep a record of a wrong suffered. I don't know if anybody's got the ESV. But in the ESV, I think the ESV just says love is not resentful at the end of the verse. I don't know if anybody's got that. But I think there's a footnote. If you've got a footnote on the ESV, what do you got the ESV?
It's not irritable or resentful.
Yeah, it's not irritable or resentful. Do you have a footnote on resentful? I don't know if the apps have the footnotes. You know how some Bibles have footnotes on certain words. But there's a footnote in the ESV on that word that says, love does not count up wrongdoing. Similar to what the New American Standard says, but I like it. It doesn't count up wrongdoing. And that idea, okay, that's the 4th time you've said that to me. I told you last time, I really wish you wouldn't say that to me. Okay, well, keep telling them not to say it to you, but you don't have to keep a count. We've got great accountants in this church. They'll do great work for you. But you don't have to be an accountant of wrong suffered, or just be a bad accountant and forget. Don't you hate it when your accountant forgets things? Just be a bad accountant. Oh, I forgot you did that. I'm not very good at being an accountant. That's what God wants. Dirk?
I have a version that says, does not keep a record of wrongs.
Doesn't keep a record of wrongs. You know, some of us are very good at keeping records. You know, we fill out attendance cards here. Why do we say to fill out attendance cards? Because we like to keep a good record of those who, and so we do have good records, right, June? We've got attendance records going back to when we know who was in the ark, because we have attendance cards from the 8 people that were in the ark. We know what days they filled out those cards. I mean, we've got good records around here. Some of us are good at record keeping. This is not the time or the place. And so I think it's interesting when God says, somebody does me evil, don't do them evil in return. Right. But don't keep a record of it either. Don't jot it down and say, well, I'm going to let you get by with that this time because I know you're having a bad day. But if you do that again, I won't remember. I won't remember. If they do it again, I won't remember they did it the first time. I know I will. But my job as a Christian is not to think evil, New King James, not to keep a record of the wrongs that somebody has done to me. Go over to Matthew chapter 5. We're coming back to Romans 12 in just a second, but there's so much in here. And John mentioned the Beatitudes at the beginning of Matthew chapter 5. But here's an interesting statement when you get down to verse 39. I want you to tell me, what does this mean? When you get down to verse 39, Jesus says, Matthew chapter 5, verse 39, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. Say what? I mean, I thought if there was evil, I mean, I'm supposed to test all things, hold fast to that which is good, resist every form of evil. I thought if there was evil, I'm supposed to take a hike. What does this mean? I tell you not to resist an evil person. Okay, guess what? You got to put a statement in its context. We could talk all day about what we think that means. Put that statement in its context. In this context, Jesus is walking through some things, as we mentioned earlier, that he wants them to understand about the matter of the heart and the emphasis on making sure it's not just an outward action, but that your heart is right with the Lord. And so earlier he had said, verse 37, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Verse 38, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. What's that mean? You knock my tooth out, you better have some left because I'm coming after whatever you've got. I'm going to knock out your tooth. Jesus says, but I tell you, don't resist an evil person. An evil person comes along and does you wrong, and Jesus says, first of all, don't knock out their tooth. But second of all, don't resist them. What does that mean? Well, what does he say right after that? But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, does he say if somebody slaps you on the right cheek, you slap them back? No. Does he say if somebody slaps you on the right cheek that you've got a right to retaliate? No. But does he say that you've got to completely abandon ship? Not necessarily. Turn the other to him also. What is our goal? When somebody does us wrong, what should be our ultimate goal? What should be our eternal? Let me make it simpler. What should be our eternal goal for that person? Their soul salvation. Could our reaction to somebody's mistreatment of us, could that have an eternal impact on them? Go down to, we've read verse 44 several times in this study. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now, why should I do that? Verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Well, how does that make me a son of my Father in heaven if I do those things? Verse 45, for, here's the reason, he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Does God do right to those who do evil to him? Yeah, he still does right to them. And if I want to be called a son of my Father in heaven, I need to do right back to them. So true or false? I want to get to this next phrase. We've got a few minutes left. But true or false? Whenever I repay evil for evil, it makes the situation better. True or false? It doesn't make it better. So if I repay evil for evil, will it make it worse? It's going to make it worse. At the moment, I think it might make me feel better. At the moment, my emotions are churning and this is how I want to act. But at the end of the situation, at the end of that encounter, have I made that situation better? Is my soul closer to God? Is their soul closer to going to heaven? I've got to make a choice. Never, ever pay back evil for evil to anyone. Now, we may not be able to finish this next phrase, but I want us to see it, because what God does here is it's not only that I'm supposed to not do evil. It's not only that I'd stop myself from retaliating. When I stop myself from retaliating, okay, I'm done. I won. I didn't knock their tooth out. It's not enough. In the Word of God, and we saw this in 1 Thessalonians 5 and especially in 1 Peter 3. It's not enough just to stop myself and say, okay, I didn't. They said those words to me. Boy, those weren't very nice words. Those are rated R words. And I almost used rated R words back, but I stopped myself. Lord, aren't you glad I stopped myself? Yes, I'm glad you stopped yourself. But that's not all He wants us to do. I've got to go the extra mile. I've got to go the next step. And He says, have regard. And we're going to see this again as we get through the rest of these verses in Romans 12. We just won't see it all tonight. He says, have regard for good things in the sight of all men. The Greek word here for having regard is the idea of thinking before. You see the pro on the beginning of this word is a prefix that just means before. This is something that, and we've seen the word think several times in this chapter, is something that I do ahead of time. And this goes back to Dan's comment. Again, about I've got to prepare for these situations. And so I prepare ahead of time. I think beforehand, how am I going to handle a particular situation? And when they do me wrong, I'm not going to return evil. But I want to make sure that I am thinking about what is good. And so that's the qualifier here. The qualifier here is to think and to have regard for good things, for things that are right, for things that are honorable. That needs to be my focus. Things that are pure of their very nature. But the challenge here is that this has got to be done in the sight of all people. That's my object here. Not just the easy people. Not just to focus on living right and doing right and making good choices in front of the people that's easy to be around, but to be conscious of how my behavior affects other people, and even to be conscious of the appearance of my behavior. Real quick, we may not be able to finish this, but go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Because whenever I read that expression in Romans chapter 12, whenever I read that expression about doing things that are good in the sight of all men, doing things that are honorable in the sight of all men, It makes me think of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And let me just mention this real quick. Maybe we'll come back and flesh it out a little bit more on Sunday morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let me ask you this. Do we ever have verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 or chapter 9 read in our worship services on a frequent basis on Sundays? We ever have any verses from 2 Corinthians 8 or 9 read in our worship services? Do you recognize just those chapters being mentioned? What part of our worship, what part of our worship do we sometimes have verses from chapter 8 and 9 read? Right before the contribution. And often it's more verses from chapter 9 where God emphasizes that He loves a cheerful giver. But the context is all of chapter 8 and 9. This is a context about contribution. It's a context about a church contributing to the needs of others. Chapter 8 is a context where Paul is dealing with, Paul had been taking up collections. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 16, that the collection was to be done every first day of the week so that there be no collections when I come. Paul was taking up these collections on his journey in order to take these funds back to the needy saints, to the saints who were in need back in the city of Jerusalem. So, that's the context of chapters 8 and 9. And we don't have time to flesh this out, but what I want you to see real quick, and we'll come back and deal with this context on Sunday. What I want you to see real quick is verse 21. The emphasis here is that in the midst of this discussion about taking up this contribution that he's going to carry to Jerusalem, is that he wanted to make sure that he was providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. I want to come back on Sunday and talk more about that, but what's he talking about? I'm going around and collecting all of this funds. I've got somebody helping me, and that's what he's talking about in chapter 8. I've got somebody helping me do it too. Would it have been really easy for Paul to be a Judas? Would it have been really easy for Paul to be hauling around all of this money and think, you know, the Jews in Jerusalem, they don't need all of this. I can use a little bit of that for me. What's Paul say? I got to be careful that I keep what I'm doing honorable and right and good in the sight of the Lord. But he says, not just in the sight of the Lord. It's not just God who's watching me. He said, I've got to make sure that I keep what I'm doing right and good and honorable in the sight of other people. I've got to make sure I take, in other words, Paul's saying, I've got to take extra steps to make sure they know what I'm doing is right. I don't want to hide anything. I don't want to be in secret. I want to make sure that what I'm doing is known to be above board and to be above reproach, and that I make sure that's the way my life is conducted. That's the concept back here in Romans chapter 12, is that I live a godly life in front of everybody, and I'm transparent about my Christian faith in front of everybody. Everybody knows they do me evil. I'm not going to retaliate, but I'm going to do just the opposite. I'm going to try to live a good and honorable life in front of them so they know why I am not retaliating. We'll jump back in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 just briefly on Sunday and finish up that discussion, and then we'll move on to verse 18 in Romans chapter 12. Thank you all very much for your good attention tonight.